Okay, we get a sound check over there, Sean, just to make sure.
Yeah.
We in Luke 20:20. How's this sound there? Did you hear that? Okay.
Very good.
Is that one down there?
Yeah. All right, Brother Mark Bass requested this. We put this out on the MeWe chat and let the onliners pick our songs today. Pick some good ones. As the old saying goes, you can pick your friends, you can pick your songs, but you can't pick your friends' songs. Is that how it goes?
Something like that. He's on it.
354, what a friend we have in Jesus. If you didn't hear me, this was requested by Jenny via Becky Beamer, the Laodicean Age.
Time is ticking away.
My sins are gone.
Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living. living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far through death darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen. Brother John Hartland for requesting that one. You like that one?
Amen.
All right.
Praise God.
And you can see what it was like. We can be thankful that the All Balls won't be raptured before the rest of the church. Because we miss them when they're not here. But that explains the acoustic set with just the guitar. All right.
Camping out.
Onliners. We'll be looking for your, make sure I didn't turn it on. Onliners will be watching for your requests, bbfohio@protonmail.com. And Janie's about to pass out the cards for those in the house who raise your hand.
Nice job, Manny, Katie. Hi, all balls.
I think we got, I don't think the camera needs moved or anything. We had it zoomed in, I think. We ready back there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm
going
to zoom you in a little more.
Okay.
Looks good to me.
All right. There's your reminder to silence your cell phone ring. In Luke 20, if you want to get your Bibles there and open, Luke 20:20. Hold your question and comments as we get into our current events update. Credit where due. The Southern Baptist Convention separates from a pro-Sodom church in North Carolina. We just tell it like it is. Sometimes the Southern Baptist Church Convention and its churches are a little soft, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But they are holding the line and not going the route of the American Baptists and the Evangelical Lutheran Churches or the Presbyterian Church USA and a number of other United Methodist Church. Those denominations have become unbiblical in their acceptance of and accommodation of the so-called LGBT movement. I'll state this right from the record before we get started. Everyone's welcome to come in and hear. You're not welcome to come in and demand we accept your sin. Amen. Doesn't matter whether you're a thief, a liar, a fornicator, adulterer, a murderer, or a sodomite. Doesn't matter. We call on you to repent, not to boast about your sin. And the Southern Baptist Committee disfellowships Church for affirming homosexuality. The Executive Committee approved recommendations from the Credentials Committee to disfellowship College Park Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, for, quote, open affirmation, approval, and endorsement of homosexual behavior. Sadly, this will continue in the Southern Baptist churches because the convention, even though they are taking the right stand in this particular case, they softball their stand against Sodom. As long as you softball, then, and no offense to those who love the game of softball, but that's just not the way to play hardball. If you're playing hardball, don't play softball. Amen? In addition to using perverted new Bible versions, and by the way, the Southern Baptists put out their own. They called it the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Then they revised it and came out with the Christian Standard Bible. It's just about as perverted as an NIV. Right. But they make the money off of it. That's why they come out with it. They own the copyright to that particular one. This is their statement that was made in 2012, and it's why this is going to continue to happen. SBC messengers in 2012 passed a resolution stating, quote, we express our love to those who struggle with same-sex attraction and who are engaged in the homosexual lifestyle. express your love by calling them to repent. Amen. They don't. Their message is actually to the other people. And that statement is fine, but now we see the vagueness that accommodates the encroachment of Sodom on SBC local churches, is what I'm going to say there. The statement continues saying, quote, "We stand against any form of gay bashing." Well, if this refers to physical violence, then we obviously would agree. But the use of gay is a surrender of language to the Sodomites. God has never referred to that sin as gay. And it's not just that one. How many of you heard adultery called an affair? It's adultery. How many of you heard of free love? It's fornication. A lot of things called art is porn. Pornea, fornication. And on it you go. That Satan loves to take words that God uses to refer to sin and change it so that it becomes more acceptable. And that's what he's done with sodomy. He's now come up with all kinds of LGBT, all the alphabet words he's come up with.
Yeah.
So look closely at the definition provided for gay bashing. This is the Southern Baptist description of gay bashing. Hateful rhetoric. Well, first of all, disrespectful attitudes. If you show respect for sin, you're wrong. You're not right with God.
Amen.
I have a complete disrespect for Sodom. I have a complete disrespect for the LGBTQ movement. I have a complete disrespect for the pride events, the pride months, the pride parades, and so-called gay marriage, all of it. I disrespect it wholly and completely and show no respect for something that God calls an abomination. How dare the Southern Baptist Convention use such ungodly, unbiblical, worldly language? Hateful rhetoric. Well, you know, that could be defined, you know, by what I just said was considered hateful rhetoric, even though it's absolutely biblical and true. And then it goes on to say, or hate-incited actions. Now, again, if those actions are violent, then yes, then we're opposed to that. But hate-incited actions, I have a sign that says homosexuality is a choice. Repent and turn to God and be saved. That's a paraphrase. I can't remember the exact wording, but that's basically what it says. And I was told I was a hater. That's supposed to be hateful rhetoric. Well, and it says toward persons who engage in acts of homosexuality. Again, does God call it acts of homosexuality?
No.
God calls it sodomy. Identifies it with a city he destroyed. Don't ever forget that. Showing respect and not hating Sodom is a sin. I'm not here to just tell you that you shouldn't proactively support it. I'm telling you, according to God, if your heart doesn't despise sin, your heart is not right with God. And I don't care what the sin is. Sin is sin. And if you don't despise sin, you're backslidden. And that goes for whole churches, whole denominations, and tens of thousands of so-called pastors in the United States of America today. They're backslid.
Right.
Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Choose where you are going to stand right now, because it's going to get ugly, and if you're not set in your heart and mind to follow God, even when the rest of the world turns against you, then you're going to be in trouble. Now, I'm glad, I'm always glad to have a crowd. Love them. See, people who love the Lord, love the Bible, but I'm not saying this just for me, I'm saying it for all of us. We had better get used to standing alone. Because if it's not on a Sunday or Wednesday where you're in this church building, most of the time out there, when you take the right stand, you're going to be alone. And if you compromise, you're just like Achan, who kept his hands on the abominable thing. And you're Lot's wife. It's There you, somebody say, you always say Lot's wife. Isn't there a man you can use an example? Well, there's a bunch of them, but Achan is a really good one. And what did God do to both of them? Killed them. You can be thankful you're not in that dispensation. He'll be a little more long-suffering, but I can't say he won't kill you because 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says that he will destroy some people, including professing Christians, when they go into abomination. Jeremiah 42:6 also says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. Well, that'd be a good theme verse for a church in this day and age, wouldn't it? To whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Amen? Amen. And number 2, false teachers are out to make merchandise of you and to take your money. And it's been a little while since I gave you some of this because it's so prevalent these days. And I hope none of you are so gullible and just downright. I'm just going to not look at anybody when I say this because I don't think anybody in this room pertains, but it's stupid. It's just stupid. You see these people and you know they're crooks and you're thinking, who in the world would give them their money? But they do. Televangelist Juanita Bynum wants to teach you how to reach higher levels in prayer. It'll only cost you $1,500. We teach what the Bible teaches about prayer here, and it's free. She says, she calls herself a pioneer in high-level prayer. You better watch out. I tell you all the time. When people tell you that they have some keys to deeper, higher spirituality and all that, they're Gnostics. That is not biblical Christianity. I'm telling you that prayer is so simple that a child can be as deep and as high level as anyone in this room.
Amen.
You can take a 4 or 5 year old sometimes who know God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have believed on Him. I believe you can be saved as soon as you're able to understand. And they start praying in the name of Jesus. They are as high and deep as can be.
Right.
You know, after that, it's a matter of you can sin or you can doubt and not pray. But if you are right with the Lord, you've confessed your sins, He's cleansed you of all unrighteousness, you're in good relationship with the Lord, whatever comes out of your mouth that is a biblical prayer is as high and deep as you ever get.
Amen.
Don't let someone con you into thinking otherwise. She says, she defended her, it's actually, I was a penny off, I guess, $1,499.99. Christ tag. For a 4-week intensive prayer course, listen to what she said. She dismissed criticism she has been facing online over it as an insult. Why? It's an insult. Think of the word humility and what's the opposite of that as I read this. She says, quote, I'm not going to insult myself to even discuss the price. It's an insult to who I am. Does that sound like humility? After being in ministry for over 50 years, and for I know at least 35 plus years, have done nothing but been a pioneer in the things of prayer and helping people to understand prayer and letting them watch me doing it. Letting them watch me doing it so that they can know that there is different dimensions and different levels to prayer.
Wow.
Now, I've watched from a distance. I've seen Juanita over the years, and she is a nut. She's just crazy. And I feel sorry for her. I mean, because she's still going to answer for being a crook. And I just, she says, quote, and how do I know that there are different levels and different dimensions? Well, it's simple. It's called results. When you get the results, you know the person absolutely knows what they're doing, and that's what I want to do.
And her results is she's going to get rich off this.
And she's going to tell you that it has everything to do with your faith and point to you instead of to the source. Because I've told you over and over, I've had the answers to prayer. I was blind legally for almost 2 years, wasn't it? And woke up healed one morning.
Amen.
My doctor could not explain it. One of the best specialists in the country. And I'm here to tell you that my faith didn't bring that result because I had no faith that I was going to be healed. I was doing everything I could to prepare for being legally blind the rest of my life. Those who know me know that. Well, I can show you proof right here. Some of you can read my Bible from the back of the room. I got the largest print Bible that you can carry on the market because I had no faith. Not that I didn't have faith God could do it. I just didn't have any real faith that He would do it. But He did. There you go. Free of charge. What am I saying? I'm not saying not to have faith in God. But I'm saying your faith isn't the determinant factor. His will is the determinant factor.
Amen. That's why this is
true there. That's right. Brother Chuck and I would have... We'd have wigs out there here.
You'd have hair like Charlie.
I'd be up here just... Yeah, I'd have hair like Charlie. Yeah. So, 2 Peter 2:6 says, "And through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Talking about false teachers. "Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." That's why I feel sorry for them. For all these fake preachers bilking people out of their money. I know it makes you angry, and it does me too, but I immediately begin pitying them. The money's going to burn. Finally, Titus 1:11 says, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." They can have that stinking money. They can have it. I don't want it. I believe in heaven, and I believe in rewards to the point where I don't want money. I mean, people send me things, and I don't, you know, I enjoy, you know, they've over the years sent me gift cards for coffee or a meal or whatever, and I get birthday gifts and things, and I love that because I know show and appreciate. I'm not saying that a pastor shouldn't even be paid. I'm not saying that. I mean, but when that pastor's pay like this is really based on commission, and they're milking people to make more money. That's where the trouble is. So, it kind of segues into our study, but I do want to give a moment if anybody has any comments or questions. Yeah, Charlie?
You're talking about that you don't have to be high-minded in prayer and stuff. Luke 18, verse 17, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter."
Amen.
We're called children.
Yeah. Childlike faith. Yeah. None of this deeper and look at me. I mean, who I am. I mean, that's what Satan says. You know, in Isaiah 14, the I will over. Yeah, JD.
They had a situation where they were talking to the parents about the teachers and what they're going to be teaching and how they're going to be teaching. There was a few people there that said, "Well, it's okay, the teachers can teach whatever they want to my kids." And I thought, "Whoa, wait a minute, you're stupid."
Yes,
and then they had the thing, the ban on Arizona about the abortion. They said that they are not allowed an abortion up until 15 weeks when the heartbeat starts. And now everybody else is chiming in all their comments.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. Like I say, we have to limit what we talk about because we could be here all day just talking about all this stuff that's biblically related and even related to the end times.
Right. There was a female Democrat that made her comment saying that everybody's wrong for banning the abortion because they don't realize how many girls are going to die. And they had a doctor when the abortion clinic said that she felt bad because she had to cancel 15 girls from being aborting their baby.
Yeah. Yeah, we've dealt with that. We'll deal with it in the future. It's going to be a nonstop battle. Even though Roe v. Wade's overturned, it's now up to each state. So that's going to be an ongoing thing. All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer and then get into our study of Luke 20:20. And we ask Brother Doug if he would, everybody say.
God, just thank you for this time that we're having. And we're on a small crowd today, but it's a real good crowd. Having money.
Amen. All right. Luke 20:20. Titled it, Feign Themselves Just Men. Now, we've been reading in the previous verses in chapter 20 where Jesus is confronting the apostate Pharisees. They're apostate because they have rejected the Word of God. They now, it's all their opinions, their traditions, and so forth. And as we're reading this, what we're going to read in verse 20 is the words of the author. Of course, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one. And so in one acts, they are all in unison in that action. But we can identify how God the Father created all things through Jesus Christ, for example. And the Bible says that the Spirit moved holy men to write. So we credit the Holy Spirit as the particular person or personality of the Godhead who authored the book that we have in the Bible. And so it is Him making this comment. If you have a Bible with words in red, this should be in black. Because it's the Holy Spirit making a comment on the situation for us. So if you're there, read that verse 20 with me. And they watched Him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of His words, that so they might deliver Him unto the power and authority of the governor. Amen? So, it's interesting. And they watched Him. Satan, his devils, and his crowd are watching. And that's a reminder to us that I always told my kids, life is hard enough, don't add to it. As a Christian in the world, this isn't always an easy life. In this world, we're surrounded by such worldliness. So many of our loved ones, it's hard to get along with them because they're so worldly. Some are downright wicked. And we want to get along with people. We want to have a good, you know, we get together with family over the holidays. We don't want to be fighting and bickering with them. But more and more as that crowd gets more and more boisterous and more woke is the word, yeah, they use. More aggressive. And so you can't just cower. So you find yourself saying, I don't believe that. Even if you just say, I don't believe that. I don't go along with that. Oh, man. You know, boom. And, well, it makes it even harder if you're trying to be a witness, but you're living a life that's hypocritical in front of them. And boy, if you ever get into it with them, they'll bring it up. When they're talking to you, they're going to throw it in your face. And so it's gone beyond that now to where if anything you say or do violates so-called hate crime laws or whatever, they're turning you in. And enough people voted with enough dead people and all that to put Joe Biden in as president, and in a lot of states to put leftists in as governor, and in a lot of cities to put leftists in as mayors, like in Chicago and Columbus. And so we have a lot of police departments and every once in a while even sheriff's departments, but the Department of Justice and the FBI, they're all now being weaponized. And Jenny and I were reading today, it's a Catholic family of Catholic man named Hook, H-O-U-C-K, but they're pro-life. And a year ago, he's standing in front of a Planned Parenthood. He's in Pittsburgh. In front of a Planned Parenthood abortion mill where they murder babies, and he's in on the sidewalk in front, which is public land, and he's appealing for women going in there to come and get counseling and not kill their baby. Well, there's this old guy in his 70s who's a leftist, and he was badgering them, and Hoke had his 12-year-old son with him, and he's saying things to his dad that was crude and rude and everything. Well, his dad walked over and pushed him back. Well, like you ever seen LeBron James play? Somebody pushes him, you know. Yeah. And that's what this guy did. Hope pushes him, and he goes flatline, flying, and then he's trying to press charges. And the police at the time, a year ago, said there's no evidence of that. He even tried to file a civil suit. They threw it out. A year afterwards, the Biden Department of Justice, under Merrick Garland, who is a wicked man, sent the FBI with more than 24 armed SWAT agents into that man's house with guns drawn and pointed at his wife and children to arrest him. I'm telling you, it's just, we are at the brink in this country. And it's going to get worse as long as they're allowed to. In some places, they are being elected. In other places, they're cheating their way in. Doesn't matter. As long as they have the power in this country, it's going to be as bad as it was during the time of Christ. When the Jewish leaders of that day would come up with some kind of charge, and then the government would do their bidding. And in this country today, it's leftist so-called Christian churches, apostate Christian churches, who are behind a lot of what's going on in this country to shut Bible believers down and to shut down anybody who's pro-life. And so we're seeing everything that happened during Christ's first coming, it's going to be set up for the second coming. Just like you had a Roman world empire with a Caesar, you're going to have a Roman world empire with an Antichrist who will be the final pope, and the religion and government will be like this, just like it was during the time of Christ. It's up to you to avoid compromise and avoid giving the enemy a stronghold, even if it costs you. Taking that stand may cost you. It's up to you. Continues and it says this. I'll read it again. And they watched him and sent forth spies. They come into Bible churches and do Satan's dirty work. Some are sent. Others are motivated by the Spirit in themselves. I told you back 25 years ago, as a young man, a fella that I was trying to shut down in town where I was at, down in the Cincinnati area. He was a porn publisher, and he was selling to kids. So I was trying to get him shut down. He sent a prostitute in to try to get me, to hook me, just like the book of Proverbs talks about. And first of all, anytime a woman comes on to me, she's going to be sorely disappointed. I'm very happily married. And not going to have sex outside of marriage. But this woman, you could tell she didn't really. Once she came, I actually made her come to the church building because she wanted to talk. And I wouldn't talk alone. That's one of the things I never talk to women one-on-one, but I don't even talk to men one-on-one very often. I mean, it's better that you have witnesses when you're talking to strangers. But within a few minutes, then church was about to start, and I told her, I said, now you come on in service and sit through service, and afterwards I'll talk to you. And that's what I tell pretty much anybody who wants to talk to me. If you really want to talk and you really want to hear the truth, you're going to come to church, and you'll sit through the service, and then we'll talk. It's just an easy way of weeding. Get rid of the weeds, you know? And she came in, and I wasn't into the message 5-10 minutes. Gone. But I can tell you over and over through the years, people have come in to the services or called me or emailed me or whatever, like spies. Why? Well, it describes here in a minute, but it's up to you whether you so strike with the spies or serve the Lord like a soldier. So I just want to remind you, you may not have come here, you may not have come to BBF, you may not come to any church you go to with the intent, but if you get wrong with God, Satan will use you as a spy. He'll turn you into one. You know, like Benedict Arnold didn't start out as a spy. He was a decorated general. And some say if he hadn't turned into a spy, we'd be talking about Benedict Arnold like we do George Washington. But he became a spy. And a lot of people come to church and they even start out right. But I've seen it right, transform right before my eyes, not just when they're sitting in the pew and I'm teaching, but I mean just in church functions and things. I can see it. You can just see their countenance change. You can hear it in what they say and how they talk to people. Next thing you know, they're trying to start trouble. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, so-and-so, they're trying to just badmouth you, trying to get me to agree with them that you this and you that. I don't know what's going on, but I said, well, thanks for telling me, but I've already seen what's going on. I'm going to deal with it. That's how we deal with it. Because we don't want anybody here who don't want to be here. If you don't want to be here, you shouldn't be here. We're here to learn the Word of God, the fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. If you'd rather be at some apostate church or home sitting in your pajamas watching TV or whatever, that's what you should do. The local church is for Christians who want to come and learn the Word.
Amen.
Verse 20 then says this about these spies. I just described it for you. Which should feign themselves just men. People don't come in wearing, 666 on the forehead. They come in looking like one of the crew. And they'll come in and even tell you, give you a testimony. Give you a testimony of salvation and that sort of thing. Now, sometimes it's so bad, it tells me what I'm dealing with right away. I've heard people come in, their testimony was how they got baptized. And I say, well, okay, but when were you saved? Well, I was baptized with it. Okay, but when were you saved? See? Baptism is for saved people. Baptism doesn't save people. So, this is true of Judaism. It's true during Jesus' day. Judaism has always been plagued by fakes. Of course, throughout the Old Testament, there were false prophets who would cause trouble. There were kings who were not true believers, and they caused problems. Now Jesus shows up, and the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees, rejected the Bible and are all about their own opinions and traditions and such. But the world will turn around and point at Bible believers and call us the Pharisees. I always tell them, you've got a complete opposite. According to the Bible, the Pharisee is the one who doesn't believe the Bible but adds his own opinions. And that's what you're doing. You're the Pharisee. Then the Sadducees are like what we call liberals today. They didn't believe in miracles, didn't believe in the resurrection. Most of the mainline churches have pastors who fall into that category. And then there were the Hellenists who were worldly. And a lot of our friends, even professing Christians, you can tell they're not real believers, and they're just into the world. And the Bible says if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. And then you have the outside of that, you have people who are just totally atheist, agnostic, but they're not the dangerous crowd. The dangerous crowd are the ones who feign themselves just men. So Christianity has always and is today filled with fakes and leadership. We mentioned that Juanita Bynum character, but she's just one of all these preachers just bilking people out of money and everything. Well, Scripture with Scripture, Jesus described the previous centuries. Let's look at Matthew 23 when we talk about those who feign themselves just men and persecute. They're like spies. They come in to destroy the work of God and so forth. Back in Matthew 23, verses 34 and 35. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 23, 34 and 35. He says in verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Read 35 with me. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. He says, whom ye slew. He's talking about the religious leaders of his own day. And he's saying that the same spirit was in those who killed all these people we mentioned before, all the way from Abel. Who slew Abel? Where do you read that? Genesis. Right from the very beginning, there's this spirit of murder And those who hate God, they hate His people.
That's right.
And if they don't have the power or opportunity to kill, and some of them are through self-preservation, they don't kill you because they don't want to go to prison or be executed themselves. But they'll do everything they can to destroy you, and they'll do everything they can to destroy your work, whatever it is you're doing for the Lord. And that's what Jesus is describing there. And then the Apostle Paul warned the churches about these fakes before he died. Turn over to Acts chapter 20. And this would be a few years before Paul would himself be executed, a martyr. In Acts 20, beginning verse 26 through 31, I'll begin reading when you turn there. He says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And for that reason, and Jesus saying, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word of God, we preach verse by verse through the Bible." He says in verse 28, read that with me. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." So he's directing this toward the teachers. And in verse 29, read that. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And he says there, enter in among you. Now read verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So Paul says that this is going to happen. He says, but don't worry. Be happy. No. Look what he says in verse 31. "Therefore watch." Read that with me. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." I'm not modeling my ministry on anybody today. I'm modeling my ministry on the Apostle Paul. I am not the Apostle Paul. I never will be. But I'm going to do my best. And I don't care what people think of it. I'm going to do what Paul did. And you know what Paul did day and night? Didn't cease to warn. Warn, warn, and he named names. The majority of pastors have been derelict in duty, not naming names so they can tickle ears. I've had guys tell me, "Well, if I did that, I'd run off half my crowd. So-and-so loves that one preacher, and so-and-so listens to that woman preacher, and then so-and-so this." I've had them tell me that to my face. And then there's others, I just see it, and I know that's what their motivation is. They don't want to lose people, butts in pews, and offerings and everything. They're derelict in duty. Jesus named names. And I just always tell everybody, Matthew 23. If you want to just remember one place to take somebody when you talk about Jesus dealing with false teachers. Yes, Jesus, when he was dealing with someone who was a sinner, who was broken and contrite, or dealing with somebody who was sick and need of healing, dealing with the hungry and the poor and the children, and those, Jesus was very compassionate. But get on his bad side and he would rip you a new one. And if your Jesus isn't like that, you've got a Jesus that's a figment of your own imagination. Whole churches and denominations have built up this Jesus that is a figment of their imaginations. They don't like the real one. You want evidence? Just talk to them the way Jesus would talk to them, and you'll see how they would treat Jesus. Because Jesus says, it's not you they hate, it's me. So when they're treating you like that, it's really me they're treating like that. And Paul named names. Probably 12 years ago or something like that, I taught a message on that about Paul naming names. I gave all the examples. I only know certain names because Paul was naming heretics. I didn't personally know Hymenaeus and Alexander the coppersmith. But I know that Paul named their names and said they were heretics and said, basically, God do with them as they deserve. A number of names he named. I wouldn't know them. You wouldn't know them if it wasn't for that. Paul named names of the heretics, the false teachers. So what should a real preacher do? Name names. You listen to somebody who's so timid or so sold out, whatever the reason is, one thing's for certain, they're not a God-called preacher. I will name names. I've gotten in trouble for it for 30 plus years now, and I'm not going to stop now. I didn't know any better. I read the Bible, and I just thought that's how preachers preach. So I got up, and one of the first messages I preached, I named Oral Roberts. Because he was, back then, he was still bilking people out of money. Remember, he needed a certain millions of dollars to build a hospital, and if he didn't get that, God was going to kill him. Then he announced he got it, but then the people who said they were going to give him the money reneged. He never actually got the money, and he lived for another 15, 20 years. Because God didn't tell him that. He was a big crook. But boy, I really upset some people in this little country church I was preaching at. Another time, I just talked about how, you know, if you're a Freemason, you need to get out of that. Take that blood oath, have your throat ripped, and you get involved in all that pagan stuff, you got to get out of there. Man, I mean, that church, then a pastor, I didn't even preach in his church, he came after me. And then they had me preaching, I did a revival, supposed to be 5 days, and I've told this a couple of times, but it went 12 days, a bunch of people being saved, but who shut it down? I made the mistake of mentioning the Masons on day 12. And that was the end of that. And they would have ripped my throat if they could have. And they came to my house, threatened me. I said, you get out of my house and you don't ever come back here until you repent and get right with God. I'm not going to stop telling people the truth. You can pull out a gun right now and shoot me between the eyes. I am not going to stop telling people the truth.
Amen.
They never bugged me again. These men are frauds who oppose true Bible believers, as you saw on the first screen. Pope Francis claims to be the head of a Christian denomination with 1 billion adherents. And yet the man does not believe that anyone is saved by grace through faith alone in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He believes that salvation is all about being a part of the true church and doing good works. And even if you're not a part of the true church, as he calls it, you can even be an atheist and you'll go to heaven if you do good works. That is his words. Pope Francis. He is a false teacher from hell. If people believe what Pope Francis teaches, you will go to hell. Amen. You had better believe what the Bible teaches.
Yep.
He feigns himself a just man. He's a false teacher. Now this guy, Prince Charles, is King Charles III. He is the head of the Church of England. And he's unsaved. By his own profession, he does not trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's the head of the Christian church in England, the official church. And he's also woke and helped organize the first great reset meeting and all that. He's got the spirit of Antichrist. This fellow is the head of the so-called Latter-day Saints. The Aints. They ain't. They don't preach the biblical gospel. They don't believe they're going to be saved by faith in the God who came in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. They believe he's a created being and the brother of Lucifer. They do not believe that his death on the cross pays for your sins. It just cleans your slate when you believe on him. Now you can do the good works so that you can earn eternal life in one of their heavens. They have several. His name is Nelson, his last name. And whoever, when he dies, they'll put another one in. Whoever is the president of the Mormon Church at any given time, that's the prophet. They believe he is the prophet of that organization. They feign themselves just men, just like these Pharisees that Jesus is dealing with in this text. And they are misleading a couple of billion people. But what we're going to find out, Jesus says when we get to the judgment day, don't feel too sorry for them. This is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love religion because it gives them, soothes their conscience. They reject the gospel, but it gives them a feeling of religiosity. And they deceive themselves into thinking, I'll be okay. We have friends and family who are not born again, and when you talk to them, that's Baptist doctrine. Well, wait a minute, Jesus doctrine, not Baptist doctrine.
Amen.
I mean, you know, the Nazarenes, non-denominationals, even Pentecostals and other preach you must be born again because Jesus said it. It's not Baptist doctrine. But most of the time, the spies are not famous or leaders of cults. But these guys are people who rose in the ranks of these false religions. They're just part of the crowd most of the time. The people that you and I are dealing with who are basically doing the Pharisee type work in the churches. So verse 20 then says that they might take hold of his words. I've experienced this. I've had people tell me that's why we're not on YouTube anymore. There were people going through and listening to my words so they could find anywhere that I had violated the YouTube policy. Their communist censorship policy at YouTube. And they gave us a strike. I knew they were going to take us down, and I needed to download our stuff, so I just took everything private so that they wouldn't delete our channel. Because once you do, you lose everything. And so now we're getting that stuff uploaded elsewhere. Sermon Audio and Rumble, Ethan and Darren are working with Jenny Allball to get all those messages, those old messages, uploaded and backed up and all that. But that's what they'll do to you. And we're going to see a specific tactic in our next study, so go on. Verse 20 end says, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And folks, I'm telling you, if you've not studied history, you may not be aware, but that's how Satan works. He gets false Christians and false Christian leaders, and they use civil government to shut you down. I believe that's why, what's his name, Czar Biden has 87,000 additional IRS agents now. And just like under Obama when they went after the conservatives and the Tea Party, and it's proven in court that that's what they did. They're going to do it again. Especially if enough dead people vote for him and he's reelected.
Yeah.
Or whoever. It might be that Newsom out of California or whoever. But this satanic tactic has continued ever since. And you go back in the Old Testament, it was Satan got control of the kings and their wives, like Jezebel. Government to shut down the preachers, kill them. This is from a Roman Catholic source. I'm not going to some, you know, anti-Catholic website. This is from a Roman Catholic, dedicated Roman Catholic. This is from heresy, church legislation on heresy. This was from an official Roman Catholic document. The website is newadvent.org. Quote, from the time of Constantine, who was the first pope. Don't let your backslidden evangelicals and others tell you otherwise. Constantine was the first real pope. And they really admit it by the way they put him there. Just if you read their other stuff. But quote, from the time of Constantine to Theodosius and Valentinian III, which is 313 to 424 AD, various penal laws were enacted by the Christian emperors against heretics as being guilty of crime against the state. That's all hate crime is. Hate crime laws is to make Christianity illegal. You can't preach against abortion. You can't preach against sodomy. You can't preach against gay marriage, as they call it. They're going to make it so that you can't even protect the children. They want the kids. Continues, quote, this legislation remained in force with even greater severity. The burning of heretics was first decreed in the 11th century. They were killing them before that, but now it's law. 11th century. The Synod of Verona, 1184, imposed on bishops the duty to search out the heretics in their diocese and to hand them over to the secular power. Think of that. People would go to church, and if they believed the biblical gospel and ever told anybody, the spies would catch those words and turn them over to be killed by their own pastor. Quote, other synods in the Fourth Lateran Council 1215 under Pope Innocent III repeated and enforced this decree, especially the Synod of Toulouse in 1229, which established inquisitors in every parish, one priest and two laymen. Everyone was bound to denounce heretics. The names of the witnesses were kept secret. That's one of the reasons in our law, in the Constitution, you have a right to... What's that? That's it. You ever wondered why that's spelled out? Seems like common sense. It wasn't before America. You could be accused, never know who the accuser was or anything. They were kept secret. But they also don't mention here that if you didn't accuse and they found out you knew about it, you would go to the same pile to be burned. All at the direction of the Roman Catholic Church.
That's right.
In bed with the government. Quote, after 1243, when Innocent IV sanctioned the laws of Emperor Frederick II and of Louis IX against heretics, torture was applied in trials. The guilty persons were delivered up to the civil authorities and actually burnt at the stake. And this site goes on to detail this tactic used by Rome and then defended the actions on this site, this website. Let me come back. There's the website. New Advent. Look at the bottom. Tells you who the fellow's name's Kevin Knight. I don't know who he is. Dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's the spirit behind this. We have a DVD. We have them over here called Messages from Heaven. If you haven't seen that, you need to. And it tells you all about what's behind this fake Mary movement. It's a devil. And the people are getting caught up in it, or getting all caught up into the globalist world order. Quote, the present day legislation against heresy has lost nothing of its ancient severity. Did you hear that? It's all still on the books. They've just lost the power to do it. So now they pronounce you damned and all that. But when the final pope arrives, the power is restored, and we're back on with the Inquisition, killing Bible believers. But the penalties on heretics are now only the spiritual order. All the punishments which require the intervention of the secular arm have fallen into abeyance. That means temporarily stalled until the final pope. The first beast of Revelation 13 will assume power, confirm the Mosaic covenant with Israel and the nations, only to break the agreement halfway in, 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation. Read about that in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the 70th week of Daniel. And then wage war on the saints, using once again the secular government to murder tens of millions of tribulation saints. What you're seeing with this whole woke movement, the weaponization of government agencies, is all setting the stage. You're looking out on the horizon of what's coming. If you'd like to learn more, you can read books, A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt, The Pilgrim Church by E.H. Broadbent. Those are both in here if they're not checked out. And Martyr's Mirror. It's a huge book, and half of it's about baptism. The other half is about the martyrs. And the baptism thing is showing how that infant baptism was never believed by groups who call themselves Bible believers. But then they get a little heretical in some of their views. But still, it's all documented as far as the killing of believers. So we close there with those words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. That's why he goes before Pontius Pilate, and that's why Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross. But he is killed as a result of the apostate religious leaders handing him over to the civil authorities to be killed. And it's possible to happen here in the U.S. before the rapture.
Absolutely.
So I hope that you understand that as a Christian, you have eternal life. You're assured of that. But this life is no guarantee that you're going to get out of here without persecution.
Amen.
And the rapture isn't about persecution. It's about God's wrath being poured out on the world in the vials, seals, vials, and trumpets. But anything else is possible because I think I said that down here. It's already happening to Christians in other nations. I don't know how a lot of United people, Christians in America, think somehow we're exempt when we're not only not exempt. If you open your eyes, you'll see it's happening all over the world. Christians are being murdered, imprisoned, tortured. There's nothing keeping it from happening here. And a lot of Christians have blood on their hands because they are too spiritual to take a stand on any of these things. They're too spiritual to ever vote. They're too spiritual. And politics. We don't want to get involved in politics. Well, Christians, if you know history, you know Christians have been that stupid all throughout 2,000 years of church history, and a lot of them have died as a result of it. I've always said the Waldenses, they celebrated as pacifists by some groups. They don't tell you the whole story. The Waldenses were only pacifists till about half of them were murdered. Then they decided we'll fight. And when they fought, then they held back the Pope and all his civil authorities, and then the killing stopped. But the only reason the killing stopped is finally Waldensians began defending themselves. This is just a bird's eye view here. The top 50 countries where Christian persecution is worst. This is up to this time last year. The statistics kind of get collected slow in some of those countries. But you look there, in Mexico, the Roman Catholic Church is still persecuting Christians. Yep. And down in South America, it's happening more than they're even showing there. Go over here, you see most of these are either Marxist or Muslim countries where Christians are being martyred, tortured, imprisoned, and so forth. That's a big hunk of the earth, folks. And it's happening right now, and there's no reason it can't happen here in the United States of America. And as long as the churches continue to fill their pulpits with a bunch of hirelings and apostates who won't preach the truth, we're going to keep going down this route. The only thing we can pray for is the Lord doesn't tarry. But never forget these men who feign themselves just men. Men and women. They're already taking over churches and Christian schools and everything. And that's what the Holy Spirit put in here, right in the middle of this text, to warn Christians for 2,000 years. And most Christians don't heed the warning. Most Christians, I'm telling you, most Christians would never sit through a message like this. They go to church to feel good. They don't want to learn the truth. Now, it should make you feel good. You say, how? Well, because you're saved. What can man do unto you? Don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one that can kill the body and then throw the soul in hell.
Amen.
You're saved. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have eternal life. Let's close with the reading. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy. Now, he's talking specifically to Timothy, but it has application to all of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. I'll start in verse 10. You join in the odd verses and read with me. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing about God taking care of us, even during times of persecution.
Amen.
A fitting song requested by Mary Glaze, page 263, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. As you turn there, you can stand if you're able.
Good choice, Mary.
All four verses.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Secure whatever ill betide,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm.
No fears of harm, no
foes of pride, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land,
a shelter in the time of storm.
The raging storms, they round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm.
We'll never leave our safe retreat,
a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Be thou our helper ever near,
a shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. We get the prayer request in. Raise your hand. Jane, you'll reflect the ones in the house as we say goodbye to our onliners on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.